We got Flaxer on the Funkhouse and all of the Coke present. Got staff here as well. Citizens' comments. No comments. We'll move on for minutes for correction approval for December 6th, 2022. Good. Okay, all in favor, aye?
Yep, aye.
On to new business. Item one, EDC 2023-01 building permit report for November 2022.
So Pete Rados is not here tonight, but I'll give you a summary.
Yeah.
You know why. So for November 2022, that month, we issued 35 new residential development permits, and we issued 267 calendar year up until November 2022. So it's a slightly increase from November of 2021 for the total number of permits, but a decrease in overall calendar year from 2021.
Okay.
Okay.
Looks good.
Okay. Item two, EDC 2023-02 building inspection reports for November 2022.
So inspections were consistent high, 726 inspections conducted, 602 of those were conducted in-house, and 124 were outsourced to BNF. So we're looking at 83% conducted in-house versus 17 outsourced.
Good. Chris did.
Okay.
Item three, EDC 2023-03 property maintenance report for November 2022.
So in November, there was just one item that was on the adjudication docket, and that one was dismissed for leads, and then you have the case report from activities for violation notices issued between November 1st and November 30th.
Good. Yeah. Item four, EDC 2023-04 economic development report for December 2022.
Oh, who is there?
Were you able to get other
copy? No.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I don't think so.
Thanks. Okay, there we go. I was waiting for people to give me the words they wanted. And now we know what's happening.
We just wanted to make sure that you wanted to know what was happening.
Thank you.
Okay, so
the
big news on this one will be the Scooter's Coffee. So Scooter's Coffee has purchased, well, actually, if you read it there, the owner is actually a company called J&J Investments, which is called the Midwest Brew Crew. They operate the Scooter's Coffee in Plano and Sandwich. They purchased the corner of 126 and 47, where the bank was and closed. They're going to be raising that, demoing it, and rebuilding on that site Scooter's Coffee. We've actually had some meetings, and so they're going to be reusing some of that drive-up area that's there, and some of the landscaping that's there, and but it'll be a new building. They plan on actually opening a few others in this area, so they're making this one a little larger so that they can have an office, but there's no space inside for people to go in and drink coffee or any of the other things that they make. It's strictly a drive-through facility. So that's what they are known for. So they are hoping to get in there come spring and start the process with the demo and the rebuild and be open by the summer. So.
Real quick, so you mentioned there have been some conversations with staff.
Yes.
Are they coming in compliant with zoning?
Yes.
So they're
yes.
just going to
yep.
breeze
building
through?
Yep.
That's easy.
Yep. So. And like I said, they just want to use what they can that's there because it'll save them a little bit of money. But everything is going to be as planned. And I had given John that information about Fox Valley Orthopedics. That is very, very, very important that Fox Valley Orthopedics took that space in 1500 Sycamore Road. That building has been vacant since it was dryer and now Advocate has been in not quite half of that building, but the other half has remained vacant from the time that building was built, which I think my records show about 06, 07. So, you know, literally the floor on that half is still the gravel. So they're going to be taking 11,000 square feet of that 14,000 square feet that's available. So that's a very big one. And that's a full-service orthopedic medical practice. So everything that you would expect from soup to nuts. Surgeries are done. They have their own surgery center in Geneva.
Yeah.
But everything else will be able to be done here. I believe they have 5 locations throughout the Fox Valley. It will be the 6th one. So very nice for our community to get that in. Great practice. So, and Viva La Funny is a little boutique that's coming over next to Dewey Shoes. There was a business in there at one time that was like a guitars.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So they had left. And the woman, Leslie Williams, she's actually really knows what she's doing. She operates in a lot of other locations too, where she's with other people, and she wanted to have a location that was just hers, her store. So this has been her goal. And so I think she'll be very successful. Do you have any other questions?
Just wanted to point out that the Chicago Tribune's head food editor named his 12 favorite dishes in the entire Chicagoland region, and one of them was Station 1 Smokehouse in Blakeville. So.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And we've got another.
Yeah. It was a second article about them. There was one in September, and then a year-end one, and he had them both times. So I have both articles. If anyone's interested, I could send them off to you. But
do you know, are they planning to do the same model, or is it going to be tweaked a little for...
I believe it's going to be tweaked a little bit because it's much larger.
Yeah.
You know, it's over double what they have right now in Plainfield.
Well, but in terms of menu style of dining...
I think the food is the same. I just don't know exactly how...
They're layout.
They're still kind of working on that. You
okay.
Know, the idea.
As long as it's the same food, that's what I would...
Yeah, the food is the same.
Right, as long as that's the same.
Yep, so... And they're on target. I really think they're on target for March. They should be able to be open in March.
Nice.
So, firing the smokers. They're very special smokers, as we learned in the article. So, so they have to have their smokers. So, knock on wood, everything goes well. They should be open in March. So, they're going to make it very, very well put together. So, March Chipotle is still really busy too. So,
yeah, the one day was like, I think there was 2 lines, like around the building and then a second line around the building.
Yeah, so.
Amazing.
And I think Craft has been really busy too. So, all great, okay.
Anything else?
So, I think you can pull up my articles with my phone, because everything's in the cloud right now, and I'll shoot those articles over to you, okay?
Okay.
Do you need any more of these?
Okay, item 5, EDC 2023-05, New Leaf Solar Energy, Annexation, Rezoning, and Special Use.
Okay, so this property, if you recall the area along Eldenane, there's the BNSF Railway, and then Yorkville's boundaries are kind of not as congruent as we would like. So this area would tie in the Eldenane Lincoln Prairie South parcel next to the Whispering Meadows subdivision. So this would really fortify our connectivity to the Eldenane corridor. This is about 48 acres on 3 parcels of land that the area is looking to annex, but they're only going to use 18 or so acres for the solar farm. So the applicant is Dean Smith of New Leaf Energy. They're doing business under the name of Beecher Solar One LLC, and they are a contract lessee of the property from the owner. So they will be leasing the property for the solar farm for 20 years with options to roll over those years up to 4 times for 5 years each, so an additional 20 years. The solar farm, as proposed, when the land is annexed, would be automatically going to our default R1 zoning district, R1 does not allow solar farms, so they are looking to rezone the entire property to A1, which is ag, which is consistent with that area right now, and it's also consistent with the current comprehensive plan designation, which had a default in that area of estate and agriculture, but it also had looked at this area for a potential transit-oriented development, but we know that we were looking at another location and near Wrigley for that. So we feel this is consistent with the comprehensive plan intentions for the area. So the rezoning, as I mentioned, would require A1, but A1 sees solar farms as a special use, so they have to go through a special use process for that. Staff did do an assessment of the site. They are meeting all the site distance location, surrounding land use. They are proposing about, let's see, how many units? They are looking at doing 19, where's my information on how many units? Forgive me for 1 second, I was just reading it. They're looking to do the racking system, which will be about 9,700 arrays, which is about 36,000 linear feet of racking in this particular area. The system will have 2 inverters and 2 transformers with 4 tracking motors. So the motors are what potentially could create sound with the humming of those motors, but because of the distance from the nearest residential unit, which is about 790 feet, the sound of the decibel would not exceed 50 at the property line, which is consistent with our noise ordinance. The overall distance of the site, solar farm, is about 2,200, almost 2,300 feet from the nearest residentially platted unit in the Whispering Meadows subdivision. So a very nice buffer in between there. The petitioner will provide landscaping plan as part of the building permit process. In the packet, they just indicate general information about landscaping. They're going to use, the site will be seeded with a low mow seed mix, and then they'll have some buffering along the eastern and southern boundaries. They'll get into more detail with the landscape plans being submitted. As far as glare, they did provide us with a glare study as required by our ordinance, and they indicated in the 4 observation points that would potentially cause glare that there would be no emission of a yellow or green glare during the daylight hours, so no issues there. The city engineer has reviewed their glare study and will get back to us with comments, but at this point we don't have any concerns with that. And then fencing will be provided, 7-foot fence around the perimeter of the solar farm, and we just recommend that they have a Knox box and keys for the fire district and for the building department to be able to access the site if need be. And then finally, they did provide an estimate for their decommissioning, should the site require decommissioning. Their estimate was about $283,000. Included in that, they had, and that was over a 25-year period. Included in that was like a 2% annual inflation rate. City engineer felt that that number was too low, so they are working with the petitioner to provide a more accurate number, and included with that will request a blanket easement so that any time that it's decommissioned and the owner is not responsive to removing the system, we have the ability to enter the site to move the system and use the funds that are provided in the security guarantee. So the petitioner is here. There's Dean Smith from New Leaf Energy, as well as Connor Blow and others. So if there's any questions on this project, they will be able to answer them. The next step for this project is a public hearing before the City Council on the 24th for the annexation.
Go, Chris.
No.
Oh, yeah.
They want to say anything.
Yeah. If you guys want to address the committee, you may.
I think that Christy covered things pretty well. We also have Tom Ryan, he's the project developer, on this site. We're just here to answer any questions that you might have. She gave you the rundown of the design and most of the pertinent issues. So if you have questions, we're happy to answer them.
Yeah, hi, my name is Tom Ryan, I'm the product developer. And I have to thank Christy for definitely going through all the details very well. But yes, if you have any questions, please be happy to answer them at this time.
So going through this, we're doing the special use here, and special use on an A1, some of the references made in the staff report mention different zoning classifications and standards for those zoning classifications. One being the fencing, that 8-foot fencing is allowed in industrial, this is not industrial. The other solar farm that was allowed had a 7.5-foot fence, solid opaque, or you know, solid fence. It's a shadow box, more or less. But it is a solid fence. I know this one's a little more remote, but it is a couple thousand feet away from nearest residential. I want to make sure that we're being consistent with what we're doing for the same types of uses when we bring that in. That one was already mentioned, but this one, you know, and I know that one did have residential on the south side.
Correct.
But the other three sides there was not, but we still require fencing. So maybe there's a place in the middle here. But then another one, the access road, again, we reference that it's gravel, but it's got a compacted surface.
Correct.
We don't allow gravel. We went through with the storage units up on the north side in the industrial park. They wanted gravel. We said no. Standard is improved surfaces are paved.
Correct. Correct. So the gravel is not permitted for vehicles to be parked on. Because of the limited use of vehicles on the site, maybe 1 to 3 times a year, staff felt, and so did the city engineer, felt that the compacted gravel is an appropriate use in this particular instance.
The staff report and the engineer's report doesn't stipulate that. They both refer
back to each other. Right.
So that's not in the report, so that's one thing that I...
Right. During plan commission, we did have that discussion. So those reports are written prior to plan commission.
Okay.
So during plan commission, I spoke in prior to the city engineer and then spoke to the petitioner and said that staff would support the CA. It's whatever is recommended by the or approved by the city council.
And just to not hammer this one, but it's a consistency issue.
Well, it's so, kind of new, too. We really haven't get these on before.
We've had other ones. Well, we've had other instances where people wanted to do gravel, not this type of use, not a low impact like this one, but still, we make people do asphalt or a paved surface. And I get this one's only going to be used a few times a year potentially, but still, it's one of those.
Well, my thing would be
like
more consistency. If you're worried about the gravel, my thing's more about the weeds and stuff that comes up.
Well, and that's another gravel. One, so. They're not going to be out there maintaining the site very much,
right?
Because the intent is it's going to be a low profile of grass. It's going to be, they can't burn it because of the infrastructure. So it's going to be 36 inches off the ground
at the base
when it's in a tilt position.
Correct.
So for maintenance, they can make it flat and they can run a machine through there. So you've got that ability, which that's one I know we're working with the UDO because our minimum height says 10 feet.
Correct.
Which is, those things would be sails out of the.
Correct.
That doesn't work. So I have to like back off out of what the ordinance says because we've already come to the realization that that was probably not correct when we did that. So the 32, that's fine, but I don't remember what the height is when it's.
And it's 32, flat. I think it's 32 inches.
Yeah, 32 inches.
Yeah.
And that's at its maximum tilt.
Correct.
So the grass can grow. But in maintenance, they can get a machine out there maybe once a year to do a brush cut to maintain. Because it will have to be maintained once, twice a year for that grass. And I would assume, since we haven't seen landscape lighting, it's going to be the entirety of the site is going to be seeded that way. I would assume.
Yes.
So outside the fence and inside the fence will be seeded with the naturalized plantings?
Yeah, all. Excuse me, all disturbed areas would be seeded with the native grass mix.
Which, since it's agricultural now, the entire site would have to be having some type of cover on it.
The 18 acres that they're using for the solar farm.
Right, so the north parcel, not the two southern parcels, because I would assume those are still going to be farmed.
Is that what's going to happen? They're going to farm the
Yes, they're going to farm because solar farms have to be an accessory to a primary use, so because the primary use will still be agriculture for that southern parcel and the eastern parcel, mm-hmm. this would be an accessory use to that. Yeah. So it will be farmed during that time.
So we're just talking in prime. So on the first map of the staff report, it's...
Yeah, that's what I noticed on that.
But they're only looking at the northern piece, which makes sense. So everything outside the fence, whether it's bluegrass or whatever, I don't have an issue with that. Now, the decommissioning was a big issue for me. And has staff come to terms with what that rate should be?
We have not. Okay. The city engineer has not gotten back to me. I'm sure after the holidays he'll get back to me on discussing that with the petitioner.
Right, because going through looking at our ordinance in terms of how it's written, at decommissioning, if or at any point where it's a failure to maintain the operations for a period of 12 months, we have the right to come in, whether it's contractor or ourselves, and take it down at their cost.
Right.
I want to make absolutely certain that whatever mechanism we're using, whether it's a bond, surety, the fee that is there and the escalator covers that.
Correct.
Because if we do have to go back, I don't want us to call it back on the decommission.
Of the extra money.
And then there are other issues that I know staff's working through, the stormwater. I think this site is going to have some grading to it and disturbances. So I trust that the engineer will make certain that there's stormwater if necessary, because right now they're saying that their runoff is, the impact is going to be lower. The curve will be much lower than what it is now, because it's going to be fully grass. It's going to have material all across the site, which...
But their final engineering, they will have to justify any runoff and how it will be
maintained. Okay. Those are my kind of concerns that I have. Water was an issue, but it seems like that's been addressed.
Has communication happened with the railroad? And there's no issues there that we're not aware of or something, maybe?
Staff has not. Has the petitioner had any communication with the railroad?
That's...
No, we recognized the easement that was needed from the railroad, but besides that, we didn't have any issues with them.
So we don't have to worry, like, a glare affecting any of their operation. That's part of the northern end, right?
It is.
No, that really would not affect the railroad.
Okay.
But the only thing that was in the glare study was there might be momentary flash.
Yeah, so that's... I don't know if that even affects it. I just thought there should be some communication in that process.
Right. My concern is what happens for the industrial to the west and the residential to the east? Is there any impact? And as long as they're showing that there's not, that takes a lot of concern away from me, because I want to make absolutely certain that it's not going to affect the residents and any future development to the west.
And they're leasing this, right?
Yes, I read it. They're leasing the 18.44.
Who's leased through? Or who are they leasing from?
Through Robert Loftus.
Loftus, okay. And they have that big house on the other side of tracks, right?
Right.
That's
so
their
it's,
home.
It's about 700 feet from.
So that we don't ever have to worry about them coming back and saying in my backyard, because
they're
leasing it, so.
Trust me.
It is their backyard.
Yeah, that's. So, I mean, I just know what they're going through over in Plano. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of that, and that's why I don't think we have the near amount of residents that are affected, but.
Yeah, I mean, my neighborhood's a couple thousand feet away, and then Whispered Meadows is a couple thousand feet away as well. There's one county resident that's closer.
That's the farmer guy that's over there?
To the south of this one, yeah.
And there's a guy to the north, too.
That's the... I'm trying to think which one is the one, the leasee, if it's the one to the north.
It looks like it's the Johnstons.
Yeah, I think to the north is a resident.
Yeah, there's a resident on the north side, and then there's another resident to the south. So yeah, that's their backyard going to the north. There's a couple of them. They're county. Not to say that it's not my concern. I'm concerned about Yorkville residents.
Right, but... At least run it by Eskom. I don't think they'll have a problem with it.
And then are they going to be doing any improvements to Beecher? Or will there be any contribution towards
There had not been any requests made by the city engineer I don't believe, for improvements to Beecher, sure, from my notes, because they were just proposing a gravel driveway.
So now, when we do this, the connection, how do they connect to, they're going to connect the power station there, right? Probably directly. Are they going to, like, well, those poles coming in?
With ComEd, we connect to call it a point of interconnection. So some of the existing wires that are on Beecher Road right in front of the property there.
Okay. That's everything I was wondering.
Which leads to the substation just a little north.
And those are above ground utilities, the connections? Are they buried? Are they above ground or are they buried? The connections?
The existing utility poles and wires are there above ground, but then once we interconnect, it goes below ground to the site.
Okay.
Do we know how this piece of property will be assessed after the improvement?
I do not.
Somebody asked me that question, and I don't remember what the answer is.
It's going to stay.
It's more than farmland and way less than development. So
yeah,
it's like a must.
We seem to be coming across a lot of these up here.
Yeah.
We don't know the answer.
Yeah, as I say, if it's staying in A1, probably not that much.
Yeah, A1, but with the accessory lease, it is a substantial investment on the property. So, the noise, I know they say that at 500 feet is 21 decibels. So there's, and at the property,
it will not exceed
50. It's not going to exceed 50. Mm-hmm. So even though you have as many of these machines as there are, it will not exceed our requirements for
the
four, property.
Correct.
Okay. Now is it the development site itself, or is it the three parcels?
So
it would have to be
the parcel that it is located.
That's
on.
What I just want to make sure that it's not
pertaining
to the
ordinance.
Parcel.
Mm-hmm. At the property line.
Else? No?
Questions?
Can I just get clarification on the fencing? Are you requesting the petitioner do solid fencing? That came up as an issue with the first one we did here, Blackberry Wood Subdivision. They had originally proposed wooden solid fencing, and then it was just too outpriced that they came back and had to amend the special use to do PVC.
But that was because there was homes.
Correct.
Right there.
That was a recommendation
right.
from the home.
But there's also, so you have homes on one side, and then you have the development on the other side.
Yeah.
So I'm not as much inclined, because actually I think it went the other way. It was supposed to be PVC, and then it went to a wooden fence.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah,
so
right,
still solid fence, but it went from the PVC, which is significantly more expensive than
to the wood. Correct.
I don't know anymore.
What's that?
I don't know anymore.
Not as much. Yeah, right now.
It's the same. You want to go with the BBC.
Right. And you're right, because staff's initial concern with wood was that the maintenance of it.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to look?
Yes, how it's going to look, how it's going to be maintained. And that's part of it is, I know that in industrial, we do allow chain link.
Correct.
But through the rest of the city, we don't. We allow it as a coated.
Oh, it's the vinyl,
right?
Vinyl. So we have this, you can choose depending on zoning. So I'm not necessarily thinking this needs to be a solid fence, but I don't know if a slatted fence is an option. So it's still
chain link.
But
with
it's
the slats.
Okay. So you're talking about the vinyl things that go
between.
The
vinyl,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And maybe it's not even the entire perimeter, maybe it is the Beecher side. You know, that's more my concern is the visibility. Honestly, you can't see this site unless you're on the second floor of a house. Then, backside of my place, I can see over the 2,000 feet and see it. But otherwise, you cannot see this site at ground level because of the creek and the river. So I'm just Beecher the presence there because actually I think Beecher is a little higher than the rest of the site.
I'd say it.
Yeah, slopes. There's a couple of low spots there.
I mean, I just slide all the way around it. It's too much to it.
Yeah, if that was wood, it'd even stick out worse.
Yeah. I mean, is this a look like a big ComEd site?
Yeah, that's how I picture it.
But yeah, if you put like a really fancy, nice wood fence out in the middle of nowhere, it'd be like, what?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah.
And honestly, this is immediately across the street to the west is an industrial parcel.
Right.
So if it does develop, you have industrial. So just keep them in mind with each other.
Yeah.
Might be helpful. Now, is this, does this parcel fall into the, since they don't need water sewer or anything, does it fall into the recapture for the Pledge facility? Into their recapture?
No,
this is
not that we're up.
No.
Okay.
No.
I didn't know if it was inside of that. I thought it was outside.
But they're not tapping onto it.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if it was removing a parcel.
Oh,
that
from that.
Would be potential for the recapture.
I don't think it was.
I can check.
Good. So this goes to for a hearing day.
So for annexation to City Council on the 24th of January, and then to PCC in February.
February.
So we'll see the annexation agreements at that time.
It should have been included in the packet. It's pretty simple. It's just contingent upon the developer obtaining the rezoning and special use. And then if they don't, then they recognize.
Because the special use will be separate.
Correct.
I was surprised how much work went into all the planning for this one. Because
typical.
Huh?
Typical.
Yeah, but it seems like there was a lot more done ahead of time. In the soil samples and everything, it was...
Then the county's packet application?
Just saying.
They had some pretty hard-headed board members at the time.
I will say this is kind of a typical package.
You can put that in the notes if you want.
ECOCAT and all the different studies that were done.
So yeah. Yeah, usually you don't see all that. Okay. We can proceed with that. On to old business. Is there any additional business?
Nope.
Meeting adjourned, 6:32.
Thank you.
Jim got it.